Arizona Cardinals football, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Big Red Monday, presented by Sanderson Ford with Bickley and Murata.
No, not at all. For us, we knew what was going to come. And, you know, it's just another game. One game today, we're good. Slash it off, erase it. Tomorrow, we're back to playing, I think, the Vikings, right? Game two at home, right? So that's definitely going to be exciting, playing against the Red Sea. You know, we're playing with the Red Sea with all the fans, you know? So that'll definitely be exciting. No statement at all. It's 1-0. 1-0 mentality. Take it 1 week at a time, 1 day at a time, and we'll go from there.
Well, we can call it a statement from the outside, but internally, at least according to Buda Baker, they're not calling it a statement. It was a big win for the Cardinals yesterday. 38-13 over the Tennessee Titans in Nashville. And as you heard Buda Baker say, it is a 1-0 mentality as they come home. Their one and only home game in the first 4 weeks of the season is this Sunday against Minnesota. Then it's back-to-back on the road to face a couple of other foes away from home.
So and there's no doubt that the way the Cardinals played yesterday is really going to change the demeanor of that crowd in week two.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Let's jump right out to the phones on this Big Red Monday. Get your thoughts on the Cardinals' season-opening win. 602-260-9870 is the phone number. George in Tempe starts us off here on Bickley and Murata Mornings. What's up, George?
Well, like I said to Jarrett, welcome to my time slot.
good to be here, George.
Yeah. So, you know, it's funny. We never mentioned the secondary, did we, in the first hour? And that's a great thing because they didn't get exposed. And, you know, the only reason, not the only reason, but one of the reasons why the front had such success was because the secondary was doing its job. So I am really, really hopeful for this season now. I mean, that's a big deal. This defense, top to bottom, looked really, really good. And you're right. Vance Joseph deserves a lot of credit. And we're talking about really nitpicky things like Kyler Murray running out instead of throwing the ball away. We're talking about little nitpicky things like that. This is really impressive, and it's very hopeful. You know, like you said, overreaction Monday on the first after the first weekend. Here we are, but you got to feel good because this was not. I had them at 9-8 or 10-7, and this was not a win in my calendar. So
yeah, same here.
I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah. All right, good stuff, George.
Good
appreciate
points,
it. Yeah,
good
the secondary. Let's get there real quick. Byron Murphy, I thought, was spectacular yesterday. He had a couple, if you want to nitpick, like George said, he had a couple of interceptions in his grasp that he didn't come down with. But overall, he looked real comfortable against some good wide receivers yesterday.
That.
And that kind of trickled throughout the secondary. 602-260-9870, the phone number. Keith is in Gilbert, and he's up next here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Hey, Keith.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. I did have this as a Cardinals win. I never bet on the Cardinals because that, you know, you bet with your passion. But I was so confident about this that I actually bet on them yesterday, and I appreciate the money they put in my pocket. The reason I'm calling, is I forget if it was a year or two ago I called you guys, and I was razzing on Coach Vance Joseph. I don't know if you remember him saying something about wish I was his neighbor, we could mow each other's lawn and pick up each other's mail and all that stuff. Implying, of course, that he was a wonderfully nice guy but didn't have the personality to be an effective defensive coordinator. You know, you got to have a little dog in you. You want to take out your problems with the world on the guys on the other side of that line of scrimmage. But I owe him an apology. It's easy to let the dogs loose when you've got dogs to let loose, or I should say a lot easier. And he did that yesterday, especially with the front. He turned them loose. He had an aggressive game plan. And not to disagree with George too much, but I don't think it was the secondary that let the defensive line do their job. I think it was a defensive line that made the secondary look good.
I would agree.
But anyway, my apologies to Coach Joseph. Keep doing what you're doing, man. We love it.
Thanks, Keith. Appreciate it. Yeah, I don't think we're being too critical when we say Vance Joseph didn't have a good first year as coordinator with the Cardinals.
No, but I would agree with that.
Midway through last year, I thought he did a real good job last year. And if yesterday was any indication of what to expect in 2021, look out.
Yeah, he completely won me over last year in the way he was able to dial up a pass rush without Chandler Jones yesterday. I think that was more player-related than coaching-related, but the defense certainly was prepared.
Yes. Tanner in Tempe is up next here on Bickley and Murata Mornings. Hey, Tanner.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Good. So I was going to talk about the defense, but it seems like most people want to do that. So I just have a couple things on the offense. And first thing is the big difference I feel that happened last game is Cliff called runs or passes when he called runs last year and called runs when he ran passes last year. He kind of looked like he knew what he was doing more as far as getting like the game plan right and throwing passes when it was unpredictable. And he was extremely unpredictable yesterday. And he was going deep way more often than he did last year. But my number one biggest takeaway from the offense is he ran DeAndre Hopkins in the middle of the field. Everything wasn't just on the outside. That one slant route that Hopkins ran and he made a nasty move on the defender was one of my favorite routes that Hopkins has ever ran. Hopkins in Houston was purely ace. He ran some of the best slants I've ever seen in my life, and we haven't done that with him. And yesterday was awesome to see from Hopkins. But I thought the game plan was just awesome overall. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Tanner. Appreciate it. I know Tim Ring, who does a lot of work here at the radio station, put this out on Twitter, and I think he's exactly right. Cliff Kingsbury coached circles around Mike Vrabel yesterday. Mm-hmm. And we haven't been able to say that too much in Cliff Kingsbury's tenure.
No, I agree. I agree.
But that was...
Results speak for themselves.
That was decisive.
Yeah, no, this was a... In my opinion, my view, these are the first steps towards redemption for Cliff Kingsbury. But again... we've seen this with his teams. When his teams are going to have to be good in the back half of the season as well.
Absolutely,
but we're not in the back half of the season right now.
Yeah,
and so for where we're at, that's deserved praise.
Time for a couple more. Francisco's in Phoenix. He's up next here on Bickley and Murata Mornings. Hey, Francisco.
Hey, Bick. Hey, Vince. Thank you for taking my call. Yep. Good morning, fellas. And I'm just going to keep the train rolling on this defense, you know, because. I was not expecting our secondary to be that good. I was not expecting Chandler Jones to get 5 sacks. Isaiah Simmons got his second pick, if I'm not mistaken. Just amazing overall defensive output for our team. Always got to give credit to the offense if they're going to put up numbers like that. That's what I had in mind.
Thanks, Francisco. Appreciate it. Phil and Buckeye's been hanging on. We'll close the segment with him. Phil, you're up next here on Bickley and Murata Mornings.
Hey, good morning, guys. I believe Steve Keim this week has an Oreo in his hand. He's going to turn into Teddy KGB and pay that man his money for Chandler Jones, is my comment. So he needs to do that. The second comment is a little different, but I'll tell you, the NFL needs to change the first down pylons to any different color other than the end zone pylon so that every time you get a first down, you're not wondering if they're scoring or getting a first down. Just a separate take in case anyone else is feeling that way. Have a great day.
Thank you, Phil. I'm not sure I followed that.
Yeah.
But
okay.
Oh, well. Thanks for the calls on this big red Monday as the Cardinals score a big victory over the Tennessee Titans, 38-13. You can text Red Sea right now to 620-620 and listen for your name at 735, 135, and 335. You can win a pair of tickets to the Arizona Cardinals home opener this Sunday, plus one grand prize winner will score an autographed Kyler Murray jersey, courtesy of Pristine Auction. Once again, that's Red Sea to 620-620. Lots of focus on the defense, and rightfully so. That offense was pretty special, as engineered by Kyler Murray. We'll get into K1's performance next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, live from the Ak Chin Community Studios on this Big Red Monday, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The home of Arizona Cardinals football, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Big Red Monday, presented by Sanderson Ford, with Bickley and Murata.
Are you sustaining? You got to keep working hard. Keep that mindset. And that's what we'll do. Like I said, I won't let our offense get complacent. We know how good we can be. We know the sky's the limit for us. But at the end of the day, penalties, turnovers, stuff like that can't happen.
It's Kyler Murray after a very, very good opening performance yesterday, totaling 5 touchdowns, 4 touchdown passes, the first time he's done that in his NFL career. He added the running touchdown, where, as you pointed out, celebrating at about the 9-yard line because it was obvious he was going to walk into the end zone. Mm-hmm. That was one of Kyler Murray's better games as a pro quarterback yesterday.
Yeah.
But there he is again talking about not letting the offense get complacent, which is something that's obviously on his mind that he wants to be corrected from last year and the way they finished up.
Yeah, I like the way that he looked on the football field. He looked comfortable for the most part. It wasn't the same kind of frenetic stuff that we saw last year. They were attempting to get the ball down the field, and then there were just some sensational plays. The throw that he made on the run to DeAndre Hopkins was a stellar throw. Mm-hmm. The throw to Christian Kirk was unbelievable. Both throws to Christian Kirk for touchdowns were unbelievable. He made any number of really good throws. He made good decisions. He made one really bad decision, but at that point in time, the Cardinals had a substantial lead. So this, to me, it's a huge takeaway, because I think we all believe this team can be a playoff team if Kyler Murray is really an MVP candidate for the duration of the football season. Well, after 1 week, he's already thrown in that list of potential MVP candidates, which, of course, is ridiculous this early, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
Boomer Esiason, as his role as an analyst, came out and said, yeah, that's an MVP candidate right there. And so that to me, the play of Kyler Murray is what really kind of takes yesterday out of the typical overreaction Monday stuff.
Yes.
To, okay, we might really have something here.
Sure. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility, and it's less of an overreaction because it's a week-to-week award. Look, Chandler Jones is going to win the Defensive Player of the Year, the Week Award in the NFC.
He might win the Defensive Player of the Year Award.
Based on 1 week?
Tomorrow, yeah.
But
right.
Kyler Murray might be the Offensive Player of the Week in the NFC. There's other strong candidates. I mean, Russell Wilson had a good game. Jameis Winston, Dak Prescott put up huge numbers. So there's other candidates, but I mean, five total touchdowns for and really, you know, being the quarterback for a team that had one of the more impressive week one wins, that might hold weight with the voters as well.
Yeah.
You mentioned some of the spectacular plays that Kyler Murray had. The one that's getting a lot of national pub and social media love is the scramble, 43 yards of scrambling, and then just absolutely stomping on the brakes and finding Rondale Moore down the field for an 18-yard gain. Here was Murray on that play.
Oh, just trying to make a play. You know, guys look to me to make a play. It's third down, money down, and you know, we got to convert. So that was basically my mindset, was to make a play.
Yeah, he was great. And you mentioned the throws, but the four touchdown passes were all tremendous catches.
Mm-hmm.
And we had talked about, you know what you're going to get from DeAndre Hopkins. He's a machine. That him getting his feet down on that first touchdown in the back of the end zone, there's not a lot of receivers that can make that play.
Oh, to catch the ball and to be so confident in your hands that you look down immediately?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that didn't happen. No,
and then on the second touchdown that Hopkins, the cut that he made was crazy. And Christian Kirk made two phenomenal catches in the end zone.
Well, I'll tell you what changed for me yesterday. For the longest time, and I've been following Julio Jones' career from day one, and he's a monstrously great receiver. I have always had DeAndre Hopkins rated below Julio Jones. Not anymore. Not after yesterday. For what that's worth. DeAndre Hopkins, that touchdown reception he made, to me, if there were pivotal moments in yesterday's game, that was one of them. Because that was a third down after the Cardinals had to settle for a field goal on their first possession, and they moved backwards again, and had they had to settle for another field goal attempt or whatever in that situation, it would have really felt like, okay, this offense can't get out of its
own
way.
Totally agree. That would have been basically feeling like, oh, two missed opportunities on the first two drives of the season, where you're probably coming away with points if you have to kick that field goal on the second drive for Matt Prater, because he's been good, even though he missed one later in the game. But, yeah, to be in a goal-to-goal situation and come away with field goals, that's not a good way to start the season.
Not
so that
at
was
all.
That was kind of a, yeah, I agree, a turning point in that game, and it kind of made things, it gave that indication everything's going to be fine, and it was.
So, yeah, exactly, and I think that in that situation, the Cardinals had five penalties in the first 6.5 minutes of that game. It was to the point where it was so embarrassing that people were really starting to trip on social media.
Yeah,
and I guess you should. That's it, because
was the number one priority they were trying to fix.
Yes, the number one thing you were trying to fix, and here you are at the start of this game, and you can't help yourself once again. Cliff Kingsbury lost his mind a couple of times on the officials. He thought that they were not letting the Cardinals play with the tempo that they should be able to play. There was twice when the official was standing over the football, not letting the Cardinals snap the ball, even though it was not a substitution eligible time for the Titans defense. And Kingsbury lost his mind on that a couple of times. And so my point is, at that point in time, that was such a big play to kind of establish some resilience on the Cardinals offense that you're not stopping us. We may be stopping ourselves, but you're not stopping us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that sort of, that took some, that was the first big sucker punch, if you will, to Tennessee, was that play, that first touchdown pass that saved the Cardinals from the embarrassment of getting two field goals at a first and goal from the 1 foot line.
Basically, yeah. Here was DeAndre Hopkins on just him and his ability to make those type of catches.
Oh man, you know that's what I do, man. You know, make those tough catches. I should have, you know, had one out there. I beat myself up on. But you know, Kyler put the ball where it needed to be. You know, quarterback like that, always trying to make a play. I just knew I had to be where he was going to throw the ball, and you know, it's good coverage, but you know, those balls aren't easy to catch. But NFL, being in the NFL for 9 years, I know the most important thing, even if I drop it, is getting my feet down. So I was focused on that.
Yep. And here was Hopkins talking about his quarterback's performance in week 1.
Man, he won the game. At the end of the day, it says, you know, W or a loss. He had 5 touchdowns. He prepared like he was going to have 5 touchdowns. He demanded everybody else to be on their A game. When we messed up, Kyler was the first one on us. So, you know, I expected that out of him, the way he's prepared this offseason.
Yeah, it was, man, there's not much to be outside of the early penalties and, you know, a couple of plays here and there. There was not much to nitpick, which is a weird feeling,
right.
Especially
right.
After week 1 and especially the way the game started with the sloppiness. But when they got dialed in, they were dialed in for the duration. And I do think, you know, I would probably put the Saints victory, if you're going to judge victories around the league in terms of impressiveness, New Orleans just absolutely dismantled a team that's gone to the NFC Championship game 2 years in a row.
Yeah, I think that's the number one statement game, right?
But
that has to be.
And maybe the Cardinals don't want to view this as a statement game, but everybody else can, and it was right up near the top of the list.
The Browns had a great chance, but the Browns just did Browns things again, and the mm-hmm. Chiefs did Chiefs things again.
You know, the Browns haven't won their first game in 18 years.
Is it 18 now?
Yeah.
And for them to be dominating that game, even when they were dominating that game, you just knew they weren't going to win the game, and it just sort of, it was like manifest destiny.
Yeah,
right?
And a play as innocuous as a snap to a punter that's perfect.
Ooh, bobbled the ball, yeah.
Who still could have kicked
joke.
The ball. And then,
what a joke.
And then Bakes being Bakes.
Bakes. Bakes.
You can text your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up next, we'll get you caught up on all the big stories around the Cardinals, the NFL, and everything else. Rush Hour Reboot is straight ahead. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Rush Hour Reboot. Rush Hour Reboot. Getting you up to speed on everything happening in sports this morning. Brought to you by Brooklyn Betting. That's American-owned and American-dreamed Brooklyn Betting.
All right, welcome into the Rush Hour Reboot. I am Sarah Cazell. We're here with Dan and Vince and Jarrett. Going to share some opinions on some stuff that happened over the weekend. Now, as you guys have said multiple times over the past few weeks, and I'm sure even before then, we are in the overreaction business.
Yes.
So we're going to start off with some overreactions to week 1 of the NFL season. This morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, the three of them provided their NFL overreactions. And what do you guys think about this one from Jay Williams?
Overreaction Monday. Kyler Murray's going to win MVP with the air raid system.
Oh, gosh.
Cliff Kingsbury comes back.
He's going to...
You can't poo-poo my Overreaction Monday statement, Alan Yates. Yeah, there we go. Hype me up. Look, man. I mean, let the stats speak for itself. I'm trying to tell people, you may not like the system, but are you not entertained? This will be the most entertaining style of football we will see. And if Kyler Murray can stay healthy, I think he could win MVP.
Wow.
Okay.
Has anybody checked on Rex Ryan on the other end of that spectrum?
Okay.
So we are asking, what do you think of that claim? Is it an overreaction based on what you saw yesterday?
Well, I wouldn't say it's an overreaction as much as it is just not necessarily accurate. Kyler Murray, the football player, is tremendously entertaining. It's not a system that's tremendously entertaining. Mm. A lot of what Kyler Murray did that was entertaining yesterday was stuff that he was improvising. His ability to make plays off schedule is part of what makes him so entertaining. Throwing off his back foot and dropping that over the head of Christian Kirk, that has nothing to do with system.
That was gorgeous.
No. I will say, yes, it is an overreaction. I don't think that's a bad thing, because the producers on that particular radio show were like, let's throw out some overreactions. So you got to come up with
that's
something.
True.
Now, I mean, is Aaron Rodgers eliminated from the MVP vote?
No.
Because of what happened yesterday?
No.
So you have to look at it both ways. That's the way I view it. Great first offering from Kyler Murray. No doubt about it. Sarah, put that on hold for a second.
Okay, deal.
We're going to make somebody's day, potentially.
What?
It's time for our Return of the Red Sea winner. We're looking for Eric Dutchover from Mesa. Eric, you got 10 minutes to call us at 602-260-9870 to get your tickets to the Cardinals home opener and to qualify for the autographed Kyler Murray jersey. If Eric doesn't call within 10 minutes, we'll open the phone lines to someone else. If you didn't hear your name, you can listen. Again, another name will be called out in the 1 o'clock hour. But once again, we're looking for Eric Dutchover. Your clock has started right now, 602-260-9870. You're not Eric, don't call. But give us a call, Eric.
Yes,
we want to set
it.
You up
don't
with
call.
Some tickets.
Eric Dutchover.
All right, Eric Dutchover. And only Eric Dutchover.
Only Eric Dutchover.
All right. Vince, as you just pointed out, the producers of that show did ask for overreaction. So now I am going to ask for your overreactions, be about the Cardinals or anything else across the NFL. What is your week one NFL overreaction?
You want a doozy? Mine's
please.
Related to somebody
a
I just
doozy?
Brought up. Aaron Rodgers came back to Green Bay this year just to completely screw up their season.
Oh.
That's the only explanation
I
have.
It. I love it. Dan, what do you think about that?
I don't know. I'm trying to think. I don't know what overreactions I have out of this that are bigger than my thoughts about the Cardinals and what they were able to do. So the fact that the Cardinals might have a team that could compete, win the NFC West, that's my big overreaction is the excitement I feel from watching a team that completely imploded down the stretch last year.
I think that's totally fair, because even just on Friday, you were like, yeah, they'll be in the game, but I'm not expecting them to win, that
no.
kind of thing. So I think that is completely fair. We're moving on to our next topic. It's actually kind of similar. A quick reaction post on ESPN.com after yesterday's win. Josh Weinfuss, who covers the Cardinals for ESPN, he wrote the following. The Cardinals defense is legitimate, as in Super Bowl good. Super Bowl
Ooh,
good.
Wow. Now that's an overreaction.
Okay, so you think
that's
too much.
Before you respond, Eric Dutchover, yes. If you're listening, call back in.
Eric.
So what'd you do? Did you hang up on him?
No, I didn't hang up on him, but his line dropped right
no!
as...
No!
So...
Eric Dutchover, buy a new phone.
You still have 8 minutes, Eric. I would not take your time, though.
Yeah, please don't. No dilly-dallying here. Okay, so back to Josh Weinfuss's Super Bowl good Cardinals defense. If not Super Bowl good, how good?
Again, this is I'm extremely, extremely excited by watching Chandler Jones and J.J. Watt blow up an offensive line. And if they continue to do that, I think, yes, then he might be right. But okay. This is a Titans team that struck me as not being nearly as focused as they should be, certainly overconfident, certainly not prepared, and the Cardinals jumped them.
Well, and they're getting a ton of criticism in Nashville for not playing any of their important players in the preseason.
Without a doubt.
They had 3 preseason games. I will say this. Offensive coordinators make a lot of money in the National Football League, and there's a reason for it, because they're going to look at that film. And they're not going to do what Tennessee did against the Arizona Cardinals. So Chandler Jones is not going to get 5 sacks. The Cardinals aren't going to get 6 sacks. Now, the personnel that they have, it's exciting. But I want to see what that secondary looks like when they're not blowing up the offensive line and killing the quarterback. Because that's an adjustment that is going to be made against the Cardinals. You can bet on
it. Yeah, more to the point, to put an even finer point on it, is you have to see this defense play that way against an elite quarterback. That's the definitive line for me. Ryan Tannehill is not an elite quarterback. Kirk Cousins in week 2 is not an elite quarterback. What do they do when they go up against Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson? Quarterbacks that can pick teams apart.
Okay.
That's what I want to see. So I hope he's right. I'm excited and enthused, but I have to see him do it against a really good quarterback.
Completely fair. All right, you mentioned Chandler Jones, Vince. 5 sacks yesterday, tying the franchise's single-game sacks record, which was set just last year.
Yeah, he was unblockable most of training camp, at the point where it's like, hey, we can only pass when he's out of the game type deal. I mean, he was awesome. So I didn't know if he'd have 5, but I knew he'd impact the game. There's no doubt.
Okay, that was Cliff Kingsbury yesterday. So final question, was that performance by Chandler Jones enough to get him the payday that he wants, and when should we expect to see that come down?
I don't know. I'm kind of torn on it. So part of me says yes, but part of me says if he's going to play that pissed off because he didn't get a new deal, let's just wait a little while.
Yeah, and then make DeAndre Ayton wait, and make Mikal Bridges wait, yeah. Make everybody wait.
Yes. Seriously.
It would be the right thing to do. But he, I've never seen a play like that before, and he's been great since he's been here. But
we had Hassan Reddick get 5 sacks in a game last December 13th against the Giants, and it felt like a fairy tale. This felt like the beginning of something really, really monstrous.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's well said. I see Jarrett is on the phone right now. I hope it's Eric.
Shut up, Jarrett!
He's writing down information. I hope that means we have our winner.
Yeah, he's trying Jarrett. To he's trying to do 2 things at once.
He's not.
Per usual.
He does not do that well.
He's no. not.
He does not do that well.
Give me a thumbs up if that's Eric. He can't listen.
He can't hear you at all. Completely unaware of
He knows
what's
he's being
on.
Talked about. But
no, that's quite okay.
Is it because all 3 of us are looking at him through the glass right now?
Yes.
The interesting to me is there's a lot of people who coming out of week 1 that were critical of the teams that did not play their players in the preseason, right? So that was kind of one of the talking points that, look, if this is good enough for Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady to get ready for a season, who are you, Kyler Murray? Who are you, Ryan? Who are you to not, you know, play any snaps in the preseason? Yeah. It didn't affect the Cardinals. I mean, maybe early it did.
Yeah.
So
it affected Aaron Rodgers and Ryan Tannehill.
Well, you're not kidding about Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah,
so
that was whatever. That was gross.
Yeah.
Eric did call in with time to spare. Eric Dutchover, our first winner on the return of the Red
he
Sea.
He said his phone died when he called in the first time, ran out of power.
You always
and he had
have
to borrow
charge.
Somebody else's phone.
You have to have a charger.
Oh, my
nearby.
God. Could you imagine?
And he got in with, like, what, 2 minutes to spare.
Wow. Charge your phone, Eric. Yeah.
Well, you're really thinking life is conspiring against you when that kind of stuff happens.
Yeah. Listen for your name. 135, Wolf and Luke will call out another name and your chance to win tickets to the Cardinals home opener against Minnesota. Coming up next, more Cardinals talk. We'll be joined by Howard Balzer from SI.com straight ahead. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The home of Arizona Cardinals football, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Big Red Monday, presented by Sanderson Ford, with Bickley and Marotta.
The Big Red Monday rolls on here from the Auction Community Studios. We continue to talk Cardinals, Titans, big win for Arizona. Here to give us his thoughts, publisher of the All Cardinals site for SI.com, Howard Balzer, our guest here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Howard, I didn't expect to be talking to you Monday morning talking about a 25-point Cardinals win, but here we are. Pretty impressive debut.
I don't think anybody expected that. The first line of the story I wrote yesterday afternoon was, no one saw this coming. And I think that's fair to say, not that any of us didn't believe that if the Cardinals played the way they were capable of, that they couldn't go into Nashville and win. I think we all believe that, but I don't think there was anyone, like we're saying, that thought the game would open the way it did, especially on defense, with all the penalties on the first drive on offense, and figuring, uh-oh, here we go again, and then to have the game go on and, to continue to debate the way it was pretty amazing to watch. And so now you have to build on it, obviously, but man, that just showed what this team is capable of.
Yeah, so overreaction Monday in week 1, Cardinals come out with an MVP candidate and Kyler Murray and a defensive player of the year candidate and Chandler Jones. The latter seems very, very reasonable. Did you find it interesting that Chandler chose not to talk after the game? What do you think is going on behind the scenes that's fueling this story?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, he's still, I don't know if peeved or upset is the right word, but he was hoping. And I think a lot of people, guys, have characterized this a little bit wrong, and that is, well, he wants to be paid more now. Well, yeah, he wants a contract extension. I mean, let's remember, he is making $15.5 million this year in the final year of his contract. But the whole trade talk and, well, it was more, okay, well, if you're not going to extend me and keep me around because I would like for that to be the case, then maybe you should look at dealing me. And I think the Cardinals would like to keep him around. Obviously, after yesterday, people are just saying the usual, oh, pay the guy. Well, sure, the Cardinals know they have to pay him, but what is that pay for a guy that next year will be 32 years old? Yeah. How do you structure a contract that makes sense for both sides? But so I think in non-talking, he hasn't talked all summer to the media, didn't talk after the game, and I think he realizes and everyone realizes a lot of the questions will be about the contract, about the situation. And now he could say, okay, guys, I'm not here to talk about my contract. Let's talk football. He could say that and attempt that. But I think we all know the underlying story and what's going on about this. And he made a statement yesterday. There's no doubt about it. And one quick note, everywhere I read, everything I see talks about the five sacks, which were, you know, phenomenal. Talks about the strip sacks and all that. To me, the entire tone of the game was set on the first play. Mm-hmm. First play of the game when he knifes through and drops Derrick Henry for a three-yard loss and then had three tackles for loss after that. So he wasn't just good in the pass rush. He was excellent against the run, too, and that just shows what a complete player he is.
I mean, you've been covering the NFL and individual teams for a long time, Howard. How do you think the Cardinals handle this situation right now? Do you think this is something they try to address sooner rather than later, or do they let this linger? I mean, this is an interesting spot for both parties to be in, I think.
No, you're 100% right, Vince. And so, but I go back to what I said earlier. You can go and say, okay, let's see if we can get something done, because I don't think the Cardinals want his contract to be the subject of the entire season.
Yeah.
We all know it was pretty much with Patrick Peterson last year. How many times was that talked about, written about his contract situation? He was open talking about it. So now Chandler's probably not going to be open talking about it, but it will still always be there unless you get it settled. But getting it settled comes up with something that makes sense.
Yeah.
For both sides. I saw something written that, well, they need to take, and this was said on Football Night in America last night, they need to take care of Chandler Jones like the Steelers took care of T.J. Watt. Well, T.J. Watt's 4 years younger than Chandler Jones. And are you going to give Chandler Jones $80 million guaranteed over 3 years after this season? I doubt that. So it's not an easy contract to accomplish given where he is in his career, as good as he is.
What did you see about Kyler Murray that looked different to you from what he was the last two seasons?
He seemed to be maybe a little bit more in control. Of course, the one interception, which he acknowledged afterwards, was just a decision he should not have made, but they came back from that. But I saw a lot of what Kyler Murray still is. But then when you heard the talk after the game about how on two of the touchdown passes, there were adjustments made, that he did, and talking about how just more comfortable he is now in the overall offense, which it should be in your third year. He scrambled certainly a bunch of times, but maybe looked to pass a few more times in those situations rather than just run. He only ran five times. But, of course, the game situation dictated it too. When you have a 24-6 lead at halftime, then you can adjust the way you do things. And so, but I think overall he was accurate. I mean, man, everyone talked the touchdowns, the one to Kirk, where it looked like he was just throwing the ball up for grabs. And as you watched it, you say, what is that? And then you realize it was an adjustment. Mm-hmm. It was a change. And Christian Kirk looked like Willie Mays in the World Series, finding that ball and catching it. But he just knew he had that sense that Kirk was going to be open, and he knew what he was doing as soon as he threw it. So I think there maybe there's just a more general awareness of everything in the offense now that continues the growth that he is experiencing every game he plays.
Howard Balzer from the All Cardinals site on SI.com, our guest here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. On the flip side of it, Tennessee came in with expectations this year. A lot of people picked them to win the AFC South. They made the playoffs the last 2 years. That's a good football team that didn't look like a good football team yesterday. From what the Titans did, or maybe more to the point, didn't do, Howard, what surprised you the most?
Well, I just the way the Cardinals shut down Derrick Henry. He didn't look that explosive coming out of the box, but it is the first game. He didn't have a snap in the preseason, but the Cardinals didn't give him very much room to run, as we saw with, you know, 8 yards on 9 carries in the first half. And so when your bread and butter isn't working, then you start going, okay, what are we going to do? And then when you pass, here's Chandler Jones and Ryan Tannehill's face and causing turnovers and all those things. So the script was flipped, obviously, on the Titans. And again, once they got behind, I don't know that that's a team that's, even with Julio Jones, even with A.J. Brown, I don't know that that's a team that is built for coming from behind.
Sure.
And so
yeah.
I think, you know, all those things affected them, no question about it. And they were just dominated, perhaps on an afternoon where they didn't expect the Cardinals to come in and do what they were able to do.
So what did you make of the inexperienced players on defense, whether we're talking about Marco Wilson or Isaiah Simmons or Zaven Collins? Because it looked like the damage that defensive line did sort of liberated the back end of that defense significantly yesterday.
No doubt. And that's always a key in football and pro football especially. But yeah, they certainly look to have, you know, been doing what they were supposed to. Isaiah Simmons was moved around. I thought it was interesting to realize that Jordan Hicks had the dot on his helmet.
Yeah.
In terms of, so here we've been talking all offseason about calling the defense for Zaven Collins. And then we learned that Jordan Hicks was the guy doing it. So that's going to be interesting talking to Cliff Kingsbury later today about that, and then Vance Joseph later in the week. But I think overall, generally, the young guys did a nice job. Rondale Moore wasn't tremendous, obviously, but Murray spread the ball around, and of course had the big play there on that crazy scramble by Kyler. So I think the rookies certainly acquitted themselves well, and the younger guys, and you have to almost consider Simmons, quote, a younger guy, that he didn't play that much on defense last year, but obviously is expected to fill a much bigger role. And he did that. And Marco Wilson, he was competitive. I mean, he just got in there and battled, and that's what you like to see from younger players.
Howard, as always, thanks for the time. Great stuff, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Howard.
Howard Balzer, All Cardinals publisher for SI.com. He joined us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line, Coulter Nissan, west of the hassle. Visit CoulterNissan.com. Coming up next, yep, the Cardinals took the Titans out to the woodshed in Nashville. Bick explores further in the blast straight ahead. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.